Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Final hour on this TD Thursday. Andrew Allegretto from Vanderbilt Football going to join us at the bottom of the hour to preview a big one between the Commodores and Kentucky on Saturday. But sticking with the Titans here. First, we'll go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're having a conversation about Ohio State wide receivers. I should have known Dr. Locke was going to call in. Dr. Locke, what you got for us today?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
Hey, first of all, you know, of course, you cannot go wrong with an Ohio State wide receiver. You're throwing around my team a lot with talking about the wide receivers, and I appreciate it, but I'd appreciate a V in front of it, a little respect for a dynasty. First and foremost.
Going all the way back to Joey Galloway, huh? Chris Carter.
Oh, you already know.
You know what I'm saying?
Know.
Terry Glenn.
And you can't go. Oh,
rest in peace.
And you can't. Oh, absolutely. And you can't go wrong with a cornerback, or you know, a safety. You know, maybe a quarterback. I mean, you can't go wrong with anything. Ohio State, absolutely.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call, Dr. Locke.
Oh, good. Yeah, we lost it.
D dropping Parker.
Parker said, I ain't hearing all that stuff.
Dr. Locke, I get it. I mean, Ohio State, that is a talent factory. He did say you can't go wrong with a quarterback. And to be fair, history has shown
that
is not, in fact, true. But yes, corners, edge rushers, wide receivers. There are lots of talent coming out of the Ohio State University. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, Kevin Winston Jr., working his way back from the injury for the first part of this year, and as he got healthier, got more experience, they put him more into the lineup on Sunday against the Texans. So what did you think about Kevin Winston's debut? I thought he made some nice plays in the run game.
Yeah.
They sent him on the blitz a couple times. He was able to impact the pass. So I thought it was a pretty good start for Kevin Winston.
Absolutely, absolutely. And John Fossil mentioned him in special teams. He was like, man, there was one time where, you know, I was watching a play and you just saw 23 just fly into the screen and he damaged somebody, you know. And those are the things that you have. And that's what you saw with him before the hamstring, the mysterious hamstring
yeah.
injury that kept him out for so long. It was like, wow, this dude is like, he's a missile. Like, this is a weapon. And then to your point about the pass rush side of things, he and James Williams, they were working with Ben Bloom. I'm going to look for that. We'll see, because it'll be indoor today. But I don't. Jane, they weren't with them yesterday. We'll see today, but you know, working on being an option in the pass rush game. Now, like, is it going to be Lawrence Taylor? No, but I mean, it's still another guy that you could come up and rush off the edge, you know, out of your sub packages. So that's a good thing. The range that he has, the athleticism, this guy is going to be a presence in that secondary for years to come. And I, you know, props to Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi for generating an extra pick. Now, would you have liked him for them to have, you know, gotten a more impactful edge rusher? Sure. But Femi Oladejo has been hurt. When he was healthy, he was getting pressures, not the sacks. But still, I think a Femi Oladejo and Kevin Winston moving forward, in my opinion, is better than a Mike Green or a Donovan Ezeraku or that kind of situation.
Yeah.
That would have been there where they originally had their first pick.
Right. I think they were able to use that extra pick they gained in the trade down wisely. You get Kevin Winston Jr., who, again, when you hear from the draft experts that he was a first-round talent if he had not gotten hurt. And to get that in the third round and know that with the depth you have at safety that he didn't have to play right away and you could – work him back in slowly coming off that injury. I think that was a nice move from Brinker and Borgonzi to get that extra third that they had lost in the Legarius Sneed trade and pick up a player who can be a staple of your secondary for a long time. Amani Hooker just signed an extension. Xavier Woods does still have another year under contract. So you feel good about safety. If you're looking at one position that the Titans feel good about heading into next year, it's got to be safety.
But a lot could change in a year, right?
About cornerback a year ago.
You know, So it's so interesting. But to your point, right now, the safety position looks like it's in good hands. But Well, I tell you what, life comes at you fast, doesn't it?
It is true. I remember probably like on this day last year, we had a conversation of heading into the offseason, the one position you feel good about is cornerback because you had L'Jarius Sneed you were thinking would come back healthy and ready to go. You had Chido Awuzie. You had Jarvis Brownlee Jr. Daryl Baker was playing well.
Better.
It's like, man, that's a great top four. And now you're starting Jalen Armour Davis and Marcus Harris.
And here we are saying, hey, look, man.
Roger McCreary, too. I didn't even mention him.
Yeah, and here we are saying, well, you know, if Jackson Smith and Jigba has under 150 yards,
yeah, might have a floor it's a good of 150 day. yards. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I feel good about safety. Xavier Woods, I guess there's a chance that maybe you don't that you let him go after this year. But
I don't think it's one of those deals where you got to. Like, it's not a cost.
I don't think
deal.
You have to.
Yeah,
right?
It would almost be counterproductive to let it go.
Because, again, it's like you've got 130-something million in cap space. You're not having to extend anybody this offseason, right? Like, is there anybody outside of, like, you could re-sign Chig. How long until you start looking at an extension for Peter Skoronski? You're 3 years in. That's a guy you want to keep around, of course.
Yeah, I think – let me see the prospective free agent guards. I think that's something to look at.
Right.
If you could get ahead of it, like, all right, you're 3 years in. I think, if you could get ahead of it –
because you have to make a decision on his fifth-year option this year.
You know you're going to.
Right, you're picking that one up.
But if you could get ahead of that as the price – because, you know, prices are only going to go up. You know what I mean? So, and the guard contracts have – already.
Right. I mean, you see the defensive tackle contracts go up, so the guards' contracts are going
to
go
and,
up.
You know, I remember talking to Pete about that, not in this training camp, but the previous one, where with Simmons and all those guys were signing. You know, and he was like, yeah, it's great for business, and he ain't lying. So you look at the guards. I mean, you got Joe Petonio, Wyatt Teller. Yeah, I mean, it'd be a decent market. I would probably try to get ahead of it, you know what I mean, and get a deal done. Zion Johnson. He hasn't been outstanding, but, you know, he's still been solid. I would try to get ahead of it.
Yeah, but you look at the Titans cap space next year, and an extension for Peter Skoronski would be a drop in the bucket. They have, right now, $117 million in cap space, and that will go up after you move on from guys like Calvin Ridley and L'Jarius Sneed. And extensions, you could extend Skoronski, but you've already extended Hooker. Maybe you bring back a guy like Chig, but for the most part, you've already paid the guys that you're going to pay. So, I mean, what's the harm in keeping Xavier Woods around, especially when you just never know with injuries, right? Like, Amani Hooker, he's been healthy this year, but for the most part, he has not been able to play a full 17 games in his career. So, having a guy like Xavier Woods, a veteran, and having that trio makes you feel pretty good about the safety position. But I liked what we saw from Kevin Winston Jr. And, again, you hope that's a spot that you don't have to worry about for a while now with Hooker under contract for the next 3 years and Kevin Winston on his rookie deal for the next three seasons as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines. Kaiser is calling in. I hope I pronounced that right. What you got for us?
That's close enough. Hey, thanks for taking my call. And I don't want to burn bread on anybody, but both ESPN channels, man, y'all are constantly talking about the Titans, man. And Rosie O'Donnell and Whoopi Goldberg can play better football than the Titans, man. I don't get it, man. I just something needs to be revamped for that whole team, man, because, they're shaming themselves, man.
Yeah, thank you for the call. It's a good point. They have not been very good, and we try and mix it up, talk college football, talk Preds, but the Preds honestly haven't been very good either right now. So, the NFL is king.
Look, man, I'll take the blame for that. Like,
right.
We know that I'm a Titans reporter, so if I'm on, we're going to talk Titans.
Right.
It's like when Mac Hurts is on. Max
we talk
Hurts
Preds.
You talk Preds.
Yeah,
but,
no, it's a TD Thursday.
And here's the thing, like, I'm not sure, but – the last time it was investigated, but there isn't a sport on this in this country as popular as football. So naturally,
right? Even when the team is bad, we're still going to talk about the Titans.
You know what I mean? It's actually like when they're bad, there's more talk about them than when they're average. Right. So, I mean, look, yeah, it's just is what it is.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's give something away. Two tickets to the Preds game next Monday against the Florida Panthers. That is November 24th, 7 o'clock, puck drop at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 3 right now, 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of Preds tickets against the Panthers next Monday at 7 p.m. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, with you on this Thursday. Coming up next, we're going to get into the Titans' run game. It struggled on Sunday against the Texans. Pollard and Spears both were bottled up. Cam Ward did get on the run a little bit. We'll talk about all of that coming up next here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. TD Thursday. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you have any thoughts for TD in this final hour. Andrew Allegretta going to join us from Vandy Football at 11:30.
That's a banger right there. TD vibing there. TI, you can have whatever you like. Yeah, that's a good pull, Parker.
There
good
you go.
Pool.
There you go, Parker.
You know, TI is a comedian now.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I hadn't heard from much about him lately.
Yeah,
but
that's what he's doing.
All right, he's doing comedy. Apparently so is the Chasing Big Joe show out there. They did in Key West last week.
Yeah, I heard. That's too funny.
I still need to see a video. I need a video.
TD, would you try comedy?
Heck no, man.
You wouldn't?
No.
I feel like you could do it.
Nah, man.
What if someone said, I'm going to pay you $100 to do a 5-minute comedy set?
Five minutes?
I'll tell them, keep that $100.
Really?
I thought you were going a lot bigger with that.
Yeah,
that,
if he said 100, I'm thinking like $100,000.
$100,000.
Right, put me out there.
But you got to do an hour worth of comedy.
Woo!
That was like,
how much time do I get to prepare?
Ooh.
A week?
Yeah, a week seems
fair. I would say you
fair.
Get it. Okay. For what, 5 minutes? Maybe a day for yeah. 5 minutes. You get
No, an hour.
Oh, for an hour? Oh, yeah, you get a week for
an
hour.
Yeah,
he went 100. I was like, that's the Dr. Evil, like, $1 million.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Getting back into the Titans here, the run game, it struggled on Sunday. And I know that defensive line and that defense overall for the Texans is really good. But neither Tony Pollard or Tajay Spears could get much going in the run game. What are your thoughts on the way the Titans approach that moving forward? The snaps have been about equal for Spears and Pollard over the last few weeks. But when Spears gets out there, it's just such a more dynamic option for the Titans because of the burst that he has and the ability in the passing game.
Yeah. No, I'm writing about that. Actually, I have something posting tomorrow, and I've been asking around about that with some of the offensive linemen. And it's interesting because one of the things that I kind of unearthed is that getting stuffed early, it really has influenced just the way the run game works later. And, I mean, you know, these guys are human, right?
Yeah.
And you have early failure, it could damage your confidence a little bit, and you got to gather yourself and get back on track. And that's kind of what's happening. Then also you look at the circumstance down a distance, you know, talking to J.C. Latham. And props to J.C., you know, for saying this. He was like, you know, we get a second and manageable situation, and I get a penalty, and, you know, now it's second and 10, second and 15.
Right.
How you going to run the ball? Like, you're not going to run it. So that influenced it also. So, you know, all of the feedback and conversation about J.C. Latham not being accountable, this and the third, that's an example of him being accountable. But getting it back to the run game, Lloyd Cushenberry, he told me, he was like, man, I take it personally. He said, it starts with us up front, and he's 100% right. So there are things that they have to gather. To your point, the Texans, you look at the Broncos, you look at some of the top-rating run defenses.
Yeah.
These are defenses that have faced the Titans. Now, the Titans' failure against them has helped those numbers because
right.
this team is dead. They're dead last in the league in running the football. 78. Jake, 78 yards rushing the game. That's bad.
And 33 was from Cam Ward.
That's their average.
Oh, you're saying per game. I thought you said on Sunday, oh, that's horrible. That's really bad.
Yes.
78 yards per game. And, yeah, you look at the rushing defenses in terms of total rush yards. The Texans second best in the league at 871. Broncos 974. Seahawks right there at 935. They're the fifth best rushing defense in the league. So not going to get much easier on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, I one thing that's good for the Titans is, you know, Jonathan Hankins, he's going to be out. I think he's out for a considerable amount of time. So that's good for the Titans, right. And he's not there. But, you know, you still got Byron Murphy the third, who was Tavondre Sweat's teammate at Texas. You got, of course, Big Cat, Leonard Williams, you know, and he's a problem.
He is.
Yeah, so.
He was just behind Jeffrey Simmons, or just in front of Jeffrey Simmons, on the top defensive tackles poll at the beginning of the season. They were right in the same tier.
Rightfully
I forget who was fourth or who is fifth. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines. Dustin from Hopkinsville has called in. Dustin, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys. Speaking of Honda Accords, sometimes they get a lot of miles on them. You can still get a little out of them, money-wise. It's time to set the old Honda and put in the Toyota Supra and the Bulldozer.
Okay.
All right.
Talk to me.
Okay, so Sunday, I said it a few times this week. I was there. And I don't know how many times me and my buddy looked at each other. Let me guess, on first down, they're going to run up the middle, Pollard. And by goodness, if they didn't, 9 times out of 10. A lot of it is play calling, but some of it, man, I think Pollard fell off this year.
Yeah.
And Spears has been, man, when he gets the ball in open space, buddy, he's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
He is.
Very dangerous. No, that's a great point. And he's a guy, like, he causes a lot of missed tackles. Dustin is spot on about Tony Pollard. There's been a drop off.
Hey, Chestnut, give the boy a chance. You got him back there taking kickoffs. I mean, you obviously have faith in his run game. Let that big boy get in there and muscle up on some of these guys. He's been here a while. Give me some respect.
Yeah, give him carries. Give Khalil Mullins carries.
I was
carries.
About to say, yeah. I would prefer to see Khalil Mullins carries over Julius Chestnut. Did Mullins get activated?
I don't know who that guy is. I don't front, guys. I'm going to have to look him up. What's his name?
No, you're good. So Khalil Mullins, he was a six-round pick.
Yeah, six-round pick.
Out of Michigan. And he converted from linebacker to running back. So he's still, like, kind of new to the position, so to speak. But
well,
he's big, he's strong.
Most of these teams have a two-headed monster. Let's have a three-headed monster. Let's just go in there and get to war on the run game, man.
Go ahead and make it four. You know what I mean? Shorten the game.
Just running back by committee. Teams have done it, and it's had success in the past. Thanks for the call, Dustin.
I will say one more thing. You know, they say run to open the throw. We need to throw the tight ends to open the rest of the game. The play calling is a lot of it, too.
Yeah, no, it is a lot of it. The funny thing is, the one time they throw the ball on first down.
Yeah.
On the first play of the game.
Yeah.
Play action, quick pass to Calvin Ridley, and here we are.
Breaks his leg.
So unfortunate. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. They do need to switch it up more and do some more things like that.
Yeah, and you've put out the stats of Gunnar Helm and how reliable he's been this year. What is it, 24 catches on 28 targets or something like
26
that?
26 on 31.
Okay,
I'm a
Gunnar
Helm truther,
keeps going up.
Yeah, he's giving more targets.
Yes, and on that last drive, you went 95 yards down the field. A lot of it came from throwing to the tight ends. Mm-hmm. Gunnar Helm got a couple early, and then Chig, the big 39-yard one on third and long. Let's go back to the phone lines. Keegan is on the line. Keegan, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just want to throw kind of a little hypothetical TD's way. I don't not like necessarily talking about the offseason, especially in the middle of November, but let's say, you know, it's middle of January, the season just ended. TD is the owner. He's Borgonzi. He's Brinker. He's whoever he wants to be. And he has to bring in a head coach, make a first-round draft pick. Obviously, I think we all say trade back on that. But if you, TD, if you were in that spot right now, you had to bring in one head coach and you had to target out a position for the first round, what would those guys in that position be?
Okay, where am I picking? Yeah, yeah. Where am I picking?
Well, you end up with the number one pick. You trade back, let's say, to spot 3 or 4, so you're still top 5, and someone wants to come up for a quarterback.
Okay.
And you can go like the mold of like a Robert Saleh, Brian Flores, defensive head coach, and Mike McCarthy, offensive head coach.
And under this scenario, am I getting two? Like, am I getting a third overall pick and another first round pick?
Yeah, I would say you get, let's say you drop back to the third, you pick up a 2027 first and possibly
I want two firsts this year.
All right, you want two firsts this year? You're going to have
and
to
a first
Jets,
next year.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, hey.
Where are the Jets going to be at?
Yeah.
So that's one talk to.
Yeah, the Jets, I think they're projected at
4.
4
and 28 is the Colts pick.
Okay. All right. So we'll do
– it's around about that fourth spot. We could talk about the Jets getting two first-round picks this year.
So how about that? So we'll – under your scenario, I trade it with the Jets. I have pick number 4 and I have pick 28.
Yes.
Okay, cool. This is what I'm going to do. And I still got pick 33, right?
Yep.
Yeah. You're not trading off nothing else unless
there
you
decide to trade
back.
You got three in the top 33.
I'm going to throw in 33, make sure 33. I'm going to make my pick there too. So this is what I'm doing.
All right, good.
Right? I'm getting on the phone. I'm talking to Arthur Smith. I'm talking to Doug Peterson. And I'm talking to Mike McCarthy. I think I end up – Mike McCarthy's my coach.
Okay. Mike McCarthy comes in here.
I keep John Fossil. Cause
coached under McCarthy before.
Listen, I agree.
Listen, whoever's the next coach, they don't keep John Fossil in that building. Like, listen, we're gonna go into the Dr. Doom room and we're gonna square up, man. Cause I need John Fossil here. You know what I mean? Now, just because like he's so awesome to talk to, man. I love talking to that guy. But anyway, to Keegan's point. Okay, so I'm keeping John Fossil. I'm keeping Denard Wilson. He's gonna run my defense.
Yep.
Right. And I am at the number 4 overall pick. I am sprinting to my car. I'm sprinting that car, and I'm taking Arvell Reese.
Yep.
Right? And so what I'm going to do at 28, I'm going to look, say, man, do I want Mekhi Lemon? Do I want Jeremy Bernard? Give me Mekhi Lemon.
Okay.
And then at 33.
Amen.
At 33, you see that game against Iowa?
Oh, I've seen a lot of Mekhi Lemon this year. That dude is amazing.
Do you remember Sua Cravens, who used to play for USC, play for the Broncos and commit, well, Redskins back in the day?
Yeah.
That's one of my good friends. And we have been talking about – he told me about Mekhi early, and I've been watching. But anyway, so 28, I'm taking him. 33, I'm like, oh, my goodness. There's this long corner about 2 hours down the road that's still there. Yeah, go and give me Colton Hood. Come on. That's what I'm doing right there.
That's it's similar-ish to what Matt Miller had for the Titans in that exact scenario yesterday. He didn't pick 33, but he picked Jordan Tyson for Colton Hood at 28.
Yeah.
So, hey, I would take your package over that one in a heartbeat. Give me Arvell Reese, Mekhi Lemon, and Colton Hood.
Yeah, I wonder what he would have done at 33 to get the whole package. Right,
because you still need an edge rusher.
Yeah.
And – to be fair, and I don't know your thoughts on Jordan Tyson, he took Jordan Tyson over both Arvell Reese and Reuben Bain on the board.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I don't.
You give me Arvell Reese. I want juice. I want impact. Listen, the last edge they've selected in the first round was Derek Morgan. We've talked about this.
They have to invest in that position more.
You got to.
And that you've tried to put Band-Aids on it, and some of them have worked. You picked Harold Landry in the second round. That worked out really well. You brought in Bud Dupree wasn't great, but he had his moments. Mm-hmm. That year in 2021, he was a big part of that pass rush. Mm-hmm. But there have been the Band-Aids that have worked. You need to go find yourself a top-tier elite edge rusher, and Arvell Reese seems to have that capability to be.
Yeah.
We have a texter, Kyle in Shelbyville, texted, and I can see one of his last texts from last week was, can Reese be the next Micah Parsons? And that, I mean, that's the comparison that's going
that
to be made.
That type of player,
just an athlete who can play off the ball, but probably is best suited to be a pass rusher to impact the game.
See, I like those guys where as a coach, you put your arm around him and you say, son, just go out there and bust stuff up. And he's one of those guys that you tell to do that, man. So you got to – you get guys like that, like that makes a difference. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Great call from Keegan. Appreciate all of the calls today. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take a quick break when we come back. Andrew Allegretta from Vanderbilt Football going to join us for his weekly visit. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday. And let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew Allegretta, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores, is on the line for his weekly visit as Vandy gets ready for Kentucky this Saturday. Vandy coming off the bye week. Andrew, thanks for taking some time. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Got back from Bowling Green last night. Vandy, women are 4-0, and I believe, are you on the call tomorrow morning?
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
No. But I do have the call Sunday.
There we go.
Yeah. And so, world famous Diddle Arena, baby.
Yes. Yes. My second trip up there, it was just as glorious as I remember. Andrew, this Kentucky game, obviously a big one. Vanderbilt needs to win out to keep their college football playoff hopes alive. As you've prepared for this game, talk to some coaches. What stood out about this Kentucky team and the matchup for Vanderbilt?
That they're getting better. I think first and foremost, this is a Kentucky team with confidence. They've won three consecutive games. They've got a pretty good defense. They've held each of their last two SEC opponents to under 120 yards rushing, Florida at Auburn. That was a really good, close, competitive game on the Plains versus the Tigers, which, look, we were both at that game versus Auburn. I think that's a better Auburn team down the stretch as well. Both teams, Auburn and Kentucky, have made changes at quarterbacks. That's helped them. There's a lot of history between these two teams. I expect a really competitive, close, intense game on Saturday. Kentucky's looking to become bowl eligible.
Right, and Kentucky needs this win just as bad as Vandy does, for different reasons, of course. But I thought it was really special, Clark Lee, this week, talking about Diego Pavia, and this is possibly the last time that Vandy fans are going to have a chance to see him in First Bank Stadium. Can you put into words the impact that he's had on this program in his 2 years here? You know, taking a 2-win team to a 7-win team last year and right into the college football playoff and Heisman conversation this season?
The short answer is probably no. But I do like the fact that Clark did provide the little caveat that, well, it's likely his final game at First Bank Stadium, but the door does remain open for Vanderbilt to host a college football playoff game, and they're just going to try to take care of their business. But I don't know. It's hard to add new language, new flowers for Diego. I mean, I think just the fact that we're looking at this situation where Vanderbilt sits here 2 weeks to go in the regular season with a very legitimate chance to play and compete for the national championship in the college football playoff is huge. There's a lot of people that make that go. It's not just Diego. I think the way that I have said this, and I really believe it to be true, is like Clark has a lot of confidence. Chancellor Diermeier has a lot of confidence. Candace Story Lee has a lot of confidence. But there's been very few people in the past 50-plus years of Vanderbilt football that have translated that confidence that might come somewhere else into the locker room to make the guys who put the black and gold uniform on and then step in between the lines believe that they're going to win a football game. It's probably, I don't know, for Vanderbilt lifers, you could probably reference a Whit Taylor made people believe that. James Franklin, when he was here, probably made those guys who put the uniform on believe. And I think Diego's on a very, very short list of Vanderbilt Commodore football, you know, coaches and players that have been able to be that conduit of confidence to everybody else in the locker room.
So I'm curious what your thoughts are on the bye week. What would you say was the biggest thing this team needed to consider and ponder and improve upon during the bye week?
You know, I think the coaching staff, TD, talked a little bit about you know, there's some level of getting healthy. Not that the team is in a bad spot, but it's still football. And if you're 10 games into a regular season, there's some level of a reset that has to happen there. I think there is a mindfulness to not letting the moment slip away. And I don't know that this is just a bye week situation. I'll give you two answers, TD. The straightforward answer is like it allows the defense to catch its breath, figure out why they've had a couple of moments. Clark doesn't feel like there's this catastrophic issue with the defense, but they're not quite as organized as he would like them to be. So the bye week helps them figure out the organization. And then the other part of this, and this is more of the psychology stuff, is Clark has talked in the past about what it means to be in the middle of the season. Like, you can lose yourself in the season. It's one thing to set a goal back in January. It's another to be able to self-sacrifice in November when you're near the finish line of your goal. So I think the bye week kind of helps clear everybody's head and allows them to attack the final 2 weeks of the regular season with the vigor that is necessary.
So that being said, you mentioned allowing them to attack the last 2 weeks. How important will it be for this team to come out, whether it's offensively or defensively, whoever touches the grass first, how important will it be for that unit to start like with a tremendous type of spark?
Huge. I'll tell you this, like, I know that the Texas A&M South Carolina game was noticed inside the walls of that football program about what it means to be able to, A, start well, and then obviously finish. And that applies to both sides, not pointing fingers in that game, but it was noticed about what it means to start well and then finish well. Of course, Vanderbilt did not start well versus Texas. Vanderbilt did not start well versus Auburn. Obviously, one of those games they were able to make the comeback. The other, they were not. I don't think this is necessarily going to impact the way that anybody plays the football game for Vanderbilt on Saturday, because I think it's an SEC game, and I think every play is going to matter, and the execution from quarter one to four is going to matter. I don't think Vanderbilt can snap its finger and say, I want style points and go get style points. But look, Miami just clobbered NC State, and they moved up over Vanderbilt in the college football playoff rankings. Well, if you don't start fast, you don't have the opportunity to make statements that you would like to make for the college football playoff committee. If you start slowly, you're going to be battling back, and all of a sudden you're reinforcing this narrative with Auburn and Texas and whatever down the stretch, which you certainly don't want to do. I really do think this team is very, very good, so I say this cautiously, TD. I think they're good about staying in the moment. I don't think they're going to chase external stuff at the expense of a victory. But if you don't start well, you don't have that opportunity. And Miami took advantage of a fast start and a big win to jump Vandy in the college football playoff rankings. So I think there's an extreme value to Vanderbilt starting fast.
Last one for you, Andrew. Vanderbilt with an opportunity tomorrow to go undefeated at home for the first time since our good friend Norman Jordan was on the field in 1982. What has made First Bank Stadium such a tough place for opposing teams to come play? And how have you seen that atmosphere grow over the last couple of years where, you know, the student section is impacting the game and the fans on the west side are impacting the game? It's really been special to see that become a tough environment for opposing teams to come in and play in.
Yeah, first and foremost, Jake, what's made First Bank Stadium a difficult place to play is the players on the field for
very
Vanderbilt.
Good point.
You've got really talented football players that are executing at a high level. I think one of the things that I've talked about on other interviews, after getting the bye week and you watch some other teams play, and this is no disrespect to anybody, but you appreciate how efficient Diego Pavia is with the football. Like, he's going to go to where the play needs to go 90 to 95% of the time, whereas college quarterbacks, especially younger ones, that rate is a lot lower. So you appreciate how challenging and fun Diego Pavia is to watch, challenging for defenses, because he's so efficient and just the play happens the way that it's supposed to happen. Like Vanderbilt runs some of the fewest plays in the country offensively, and they are, I think, first or second in the country in yards per play at nearly 8 yards per play. So what's made it difficult is the players. Having said that, it's been wonderful to see the fan support gather around the players, especially the student section. They have been a ton of fun to watch that student section fill up from this year all the way back to last year. I mean, I can think the Virginia Tech game last year had a good student section. They saw the product and they showed up time and time again. And, you know, the Missouri game was impacted by the fans. The Auburn game was impacted by the fans. So when Chancellor Diermeier and Candace Lee and Clark Lee kind of had this vision 5 years ago about what it means to play football in Nashville in the SEC at nights or on an SEC Saturday, like, this is what they were talking about. It's so fun and rewarding to see the players' hard work be valued. And it's fun and rewarding to see the black and gold community take the opportunities on Saturday to get together and be the community that so many other SEC programs have been able to see over the years. And all of it has come together very, very nicely. So, the game is a sellout. I think just about every game has been a sellout, with the exception of maybe one or two at First Bank Stadium this season. It's been fun, super fun, to watch the whole community come together around a vision and really hardworking players.
Andrew, as always, appreciate you taking some time. Going to be a fun one on Saturday. 2:30 kick, 1 p.m. pregame, and we'll talk to you on Saturday.
As always, Jake.
Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football, joining us for his weekly visit, Commodores and Wildcats, Saturday afternoon inside First Bank Stadium. And again, you can listen right here on 102.5 The Game and on 94.9 The Fan. We've got one more segment on the show. We'll react to what Andrew had to say and wrap things up after this. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. The latter of the two have Flashlights in the air for this one. All right, I'll join you. Final segment of the show on this Thursday. End it with a bang.
Keisha Cole Davenport.
It's not.
Let's go.
It's not a TD Thursday unless we get some Keisha Cole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That one was a TD request. At the buzzer, by the way.
At the buzzer.
As he came
down. I had a song pulled up, and he's like, Parker, play some Keisha Cole.
Yeah,
and
I'm let me
get my wife on the
Parker
the,
is nothing.
I mean?
He's nothing more than a man of the people.
Let me
he's,
get my wife on the air. Come on, Keish.
Final segment of the show. been a great one today. We got great stuff from the talk to TD segments. Good questions, good phone calls. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Great to have Andrew on as always. Vandy with the big one on Saturday against Kentucky. They need some help. The College Football Playoff Committee not doing them any favors, and of course the teams in front of them doing them no favors as they've played well. So a big weekend of college football. Vanderbilt trying to keep their college football playoff hopes alive. TD, thoughts on what we might see down the stretch here in the college football season? It's been all over the place. So far.
I love it. I love just the way there's so many teams to be in position. You know, you got Michigan creeping in there, Vanderbilt where they are. I want to see A&M win it all, man.
Marcel Reed, bring it back for Nashville.
KC Concepcion. Yeah, exactly. Bring it back for Nashville. But then also, you know, Cassius Howell. They have a lot of players.
It's a good team.
You know?
And I think that was an important win for them on Saturday because, for the most part, outside of the Notre Dame game, they've kind of cruised past most of their opponents. And they got punched in the mouth on Saturday, down 30-3 at halftime. To show the wherewithal and the fight to come back from down 27, which hadn't been done maybe ever in the SEC, it was really impressive from them. So that's a good team from A&M. I struggle to see Ohio State losing. If Dr. Locke is still listening, like I'm looking at that team is just more talented than everybody else.
They're going to beat everybody, you know what I mean?
But the SEC, they're going to get five teams in most likely. There's a chance it's only four, but likely five teams in. Vanderbilt, if they want to get in, you got to be rooting against Oklahoma and Alabama because if one of those teams loses, it does open the door for you to sneak in. You know, you have to get past Miami. You have to get past BYU. You got to get past Utah. But those are more realistic comparing the resumes because if Oklahoma and Alabama both win out, I don't know how Vandy can get their way in. So going to need some help, going to be some scoreboard watching, but it has been a fun season for Vanderbilt, and it continues. Final game in First Bank Stadium on Saturday against Kentucky. Again, that is a 1 o'clock pregame, 2:30 kickoff right here on 102.5 The Game and on 94.9 The Fan. And Vandy gets a chance to go 7-0 at home. Crazy. You know, the viral clip last year of Nick Saban saying the only tough to go in the SEC that's not a tough place to play is Vanderbilt. They've made it a tough place to play this year. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow on the show, I will not be on. I will not be on for either of the next two shows, actually.
What you got going on, man?
Vandy stuff. We got 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah, key to main thing.
We got like 1,500 kids coming out tomorrow for the game. If we get close to 67, tune in. I'm going to try and have some sort of call ready for that one when we hit 67 because we've got, I think, 1,500 kids coming out.
That's going to be interesting.
It's going to be loud in there. Got to bring the earplugs. It's going to be a tough one. But excited for that, and then I'll be traveling on Monday for our Thanksgiving trip. So you'll be in good hands. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier tomorrow. And then is it you and Connor on Monday, Parker?
If I had to guess, probably.
I think so. So I'll be out the next two, but I'll be back on Tuesday. TD, we won't have a show with you next Thursday because of Thanksgiving, so we'll talk to you in December.
Absolutely.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving, TD.
December. Happy Thanksgiving, TD. Everybody, man. Be thankful for so much. You woke up this morning, so what did you do? You won.
That'll do it for us. Always appreciate TD. Again, we will be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. It'll be Connor Newton, Nick Frazier. They'll have a fun show for you as well. And tune in tomorrow morning, 10:45 a.m. pregame. Vanderbilt, Alabama State. Commodores looking to get to 5-0. Chase and Big Joe, I'll have you covered next here on 102.5 The Game.
Deuces.